All right, turn in your Bibles to the scripture that Noah read, Matthew chapter 5. And we are continuing our series in God's Pathway to Wholeness. God's Pathway to Wholeness. Mommy, I'm so thirsty. I want a drink. Susanna Petroisian heard her daughter's pleas, but there was nothing that she could do. She and her four-year-old daughter, Guyane, were trapped beneath tons of collapsed concrete and steel. Beside them lay the body of Susanna's sister-in-law, Corrine, one of the 55,000 victims of the worst earthquake in the history of Soviet Armenia. Calamity never knocks before it enters, and this one tore down the door. Susanna had gone to Corrine's house to try on a dress. It was December 7th, 1988 at 11:30 a.m. The quake hit at 11:41 a.m. Susanna was just removing the dress and was clad in stockings and a slip when the fifth floor apartment began to shake. Susanna grabbed her daughter but had only taken a few steps when the floor opened up and they tumbled in. Susanna, Guyane, and Corrine fell into the basement with the nine-story apartment house crumbling around them. Mommy, I need a drink. Please, give me something. But there was nothing for Susanna to give. She was trapped flat on her back, a concrete panel 18 inches above her head, and a crumpled water pipe above her shoulders that kept her from standing up. Feeling around in the darkness, she found a 24-ounce jar of blackberry jam that had fallen into the basement. She gave her daughter the entire jar to eat, but it was gone by the second day. Mommy, I'm so thirsty. Susanna knew she would die, but she wanted her daughter to live. She found a dress, perhaps the one she had come to try on, and made a bed for Guyane. Though it was bitter cold, she took off her stockings and wrapped them around the child to keep her warm. The two were trapped for 8 days. Because of the darkness, Susanna lost track of time. Because of the cold, she lost the feeling in her fingers and in her toes. Because of her inability to move, she lost hope. I was just waiting to die, she recounts. She began to hallucinate. Her thoughts wandered. A merciful sleep occasionally freed her from the horror of her entombment. But the sleep would be brief. Something always awakened her. The cold, the hunger, or most often, the voice of her daughter. Mommy, I'm so thirsty. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled, Matthew 5, 6 says. Admission of thirst doesn't come easy. False fountains pacify our cravings, but they never satisfy. There comes a time when everyone caves in and we are trapped in the rubble of reality. Some would rather die than admit being thirsty. Others try to fill the void with things, but it leaves them empty. And others cry out and are filled. And that's what Jesus is trying to tell us today, that he's the only one that keeps death at bay. Blessed are you, the scripture says, when you hunger and thirst for righteousness, for you will be filled. Do we seek for righteousness the way Guyane searched and hungered and thirsted for a drink? Does our heart yearn for the righteousness that only God provides? In this year of going deeper, I don't know if it's so much new knowledge that takes us deeper or just the practice of what we already know that is necessary to take us deeper. Learning how to live in the kingdom of God constantly, learning how to walk in forgiveness, learning how to be honest before God and confess, learning how to have our thinking transformed as God takes that honest confession and replaces those thoughts with his thoughts, learning how to allow him to transform us, finding out that we are truly poor. And when we're poor in spirit, we mourn for that. We let God's strength lead us. And as God fills us with strength, we want more. We hunger and we thirst for righteousness. Have you ever been so hungry that it hurt? Have you ever been so thirsty that it hurt? Have you ever been so hungry for God that it hurt? Blessed, the joy that is untouchable. Blessed are you when you hunger and thirst for righteousness, for you will be filled. Righteousness means to be put right with. To be put right with. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst to be right with God. To pursue rightness with Him so that you know that there is nothing in between you. That you can look Him in the eye and you can look Him in the eye with joy. Like two lovers who have recognized each other's passion for one another. And they fix their eyes on one another and they know there is nothing between them. Blessed are those who hunger to be right with God and live right with God. On earth, you're blessed when you're not hungry and thirsty. With God, you're blessed when you are hungry and thirsty. On earth, you can be filled to a degree that you can die. You can actually drink yourself to death. It is possible to eat yourself to death. But with righteousness, you can have as much as you want, and what you'll end up with is more joy, more peace, more life, more purpose. For the one who hungers and thirsts for God and continually lives in that hunger is blessed. That person has joy untouchable. What are you hungering and thirsting for right now? A husband? A wife? A job? More money? Better house? Fulfillment? Security? Health? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Let me give you some principles of hunger and thirst. The psalmist writes in Psalm 42, "As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you." Do our souls long for Him this morning? Hunger is good. Natural hunger. It's a sign that you're alive. It's a sign that you're active and that you're energetic and your body has used up the resources that you put in. And then you get hungry again and you want to continue to fill yourself so that you can have more ability to live this life. The water that we drink, it's the very substance. We must have it or we die. This phrase, hunger and thirst, is the present active tense, which means a continuous hunger. It doesn't mean that we're filled and then we go, "Okay, God, I've got enough of you. I can go do my thing now until I'm hungry for you again and come back." That's what we do with the table. We eat our food, then we leave and we do whatever we do, then we come back to the table. With God, it's a present, continuous, just constant hunger for more of our God. Our body tells us when we're hungry and thirsty. Our mouth gets dry, we get dizzy, growly stomach. You get tired, you get hangry. How does God remind us of our spiritual hunger? There's a song, it's a Christmas song that we sing, "O Holy Night." Sometimes we sing those songs so frequently in the holiday season, we don't listen to the words. But here's one phrase of "O Holy Night." "Long lay the earth in sin and error pining, till He appeared and the soul felt its worth." That's blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Long lay the earth in sin and error pining, desiring is what pining means, yearning, hungering, wanting is what pining means. Long lay the earth, long lay the individuals in sin and error. We're pining. And then He appears and we find the object of our pining. And the soul felt its worth. When we have that encounter with God, we've hungered and we've thirsted and we found the object that will fill us. Then when He fills us, we feel worth it. We feel enough. We feel as if we can live our life the way we're designed to live it. Sadly, we pine for so many things that don't end up with that result. The world offers cheap substitutes that when we pine and we reach out for that, it may fulfill for a moment, but we find ourselves empty and sometimes even sick sometimes even destroyed because of those things. If I fill up on worldly things, I won't be hungry for righteousness. Are we aware when we aren't hungry and thirsty for God? Sometimes the doctors we see on earth are bad doctors. That there's an illness and they may give us a pill and some physical therapy and it might deal with the symptoms. There might be a calming of the pain or a calming of the ache when in reality something deeper is actually happening. That's malpractice. We deal with just the symptom alone. Don't you know that God is not interested in just dealing with your symptoms? God is interested in getting down to the depths of our hearts, the depths of our lives, to touch us, to communicate with us, to reach us, so that we might cry out, "Oh God, I'm poor in spirit and I'm mourning over that. I know you are my only strength and I want more of you." That want will be filled. God will fill that yearning in our hearts. To some, our hunger is not so great. The reason is because we've been eating at false tables. Oh, those hunger pangs will disappear, but in the end we'll die. To come to a place of being hungry and thirsty for righteousness, we have to resist those other pursuits and those other items at the table. Righteousness is not simply being free from sin, but free from the desire to sin. A lot of us fight with that. I want it, but I know I shouldn't. I want to do it, but I know I can't. I'm hungry for that, but I know God's over here talking to me, pulling me. And I either don't want to disappoint him, I don't want him to be mad at me, and I certainly don't want him to punish me. We might end up with the right result, but the motives aren't quite right. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, that they don't even want the want to sin anymore. Jesus said, "Man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." He also said, "If you knew who it was talking to you, you would have asked for living water. If you asked for water, and he would have given you living water." The disciples showed up with lunch. Jesus said, "I have bread that you don't know of." "What, did you eat somewhere else?" "No, it's bread of the Spirit. Bread that satisfies. It frees us from the desire for unrighteousness." Few Christians deny the desire for the fullness of God. Many deny the avenue to that fullness. "Yes, I want to be righteous. I just don't want to do what it takes to get there. I want to be right with God. I just don't want to read my Bible. I want to be close to God. I just don't like to pray. I want to be near him. I just don't want to do everything he says." You ever found yourself in those places? We all have, haven't we? We want the righteousness. We just don't want the avenue to get there. We want the blessing. We don't want the cross carrying. The blessing of righteousness is attractive. It's the righteousness itself that we don't want many times. Told this brief encounter many times. I was talking with a friend and we had long time been in a relationship and he wasn't yet willing to surrender himself to the Lord. And he finally said, "You know, I hear all you're saying and I get it and all that, but will it be any fun?" Some of us want fun. And that brief, temporal, finite fun becomes something that we eat upon. We wait for the weekend to have our fun. And we fill the appetite. But in the end, it leads to death. Many are hungry for God until they're confronted with righteousness and what it really looks like. Like the rich young ruler. "God, what do I need to do? I want to inherit eternal life." Jesus gave him the instructions, and he didn't like those instructions. "I want eternal life. I just don't want to do what you're asking me to do." But there's only one way. There's only his way. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Let's do a little interaction this morning. What are some of the signs that we lack spiritual hunger and thirst? What are some of those things? Talk to me a little bit. What are some ways that you recognize when you think, you know what, I think I'm not as hungry for God as I ought to be? We rest on our own ability. I got this. I can do this without you, God. Or we even forget to ask. Somebody else. Okay, being critical. Yeah, is the Holy Spirit ever critical? No, he's convicting, but he's not critical. When that critical spirit comes, I get like that way too. When I get critical, I know, oh, that's a warning sign. That's a, you better get right. Something's not right. Somebody said over here. Okay, putting the things of our desires here on earth in front of what God wants. Yeah, getting the order of things backwards. Seek first the kingdom of God, Jesus said. And all these other things will be added to you. We seek first the things of this world and ask God to come along. One more. What's that? Being judgmental. Oh, that's a big one, isn't it? We start to find ourselves separating people between us and them. Oh, that's one of those. Those people do that kind of stuff. I don't want to be like those people. And whatever those people means to you, we get judgmental. We want pleasure instead of God. Sure. Why'd you have to bring up TV? I gotta watch sports. Don't you know? I have my shows. Hate when the Lord talks through the people like that. Does time in prayer in the Bible feel like a duty? Does it feel like it's something you have to do versus something you want to do? Is there an increasing hunger for things that are contrary to God's word? Is there a lack of sensitivity to the Holy Spirit's voice and leading? Man, I don't think I've heard the Holy Spirit in months. That ought to be a warning sign. Is it a growing struggle to engage in a life of worship? I don't mean just coming in here and singing songs. I mean a life of worship. Do we forget that God is with us all the time and there's a growing struggle to engage in that? Is there a critical or judgmental heart with a lack of peace? An irritable spirit and a lack of joy? We could go on and on, couldn't we? You know your signs. Some of mine are those that I just listed, but when I start to get irritable, people annoy me more, then I know that I'm not hungering and thirsting. When I lose my sensitivity to the Spirit, when I get more self-centered, it's about me. When I lose my desire to pray, when I'm not really content, when I lose my ability to handle urgent things with calm. That's a real one for me. Things happen. What do? If I'm not calm in those moments and I kind of get frantic, then I know. But on the flip side, when I'm rested amidst crazy times, I know I'm close. When things that would normally irritate me don't, I know I'm close to Jesus. When there is a calm in my mind and in my attitude, I'm not rushy. When I have an increased sensitivity to others, I have empathy and I start to feel for people versus judging them, I know I'm close. When I'm more generous, when I'm far less concerned about the small things and I'm focused more on the bigger picture, and so on and so on. You might know yours. It's a good exercise to think about it. You might take your outline and just kind of make columns and say, I know that I'm not hungering and thirsting when I feel this way and I do these things. And then I know I am close to Jesus when I'm doing these things. Well, let me give you quickly four ways to increase your hunger for righteousness. Number one, admit my own righteousness will leave me empty. Romans 3:10 says, there is no one righteous, not even one. Because let's just get that straight right here and now. Oh, I want to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Are we righteous? No, this scripture says there's no one righteous, not even one. But that's what justification is all about, right? When God sees us, he doesn't see us. He sees Jesus' covering over us. So in Jesus, we are righteous. We have his righteousness covering us. But in us, we are not righteous. So there's that constant faith walk. Yes, God, I'm not righteous, but you cover me and you are. So I can walk confident. We don't need to walk scared. We don't need to live worried that God's just constantly disappointed in us, constantly annoyed, constantly mad, because he's not. Is he mad at his son? Thank you. Two people got it. Is he mad at his son? No. His son's blood and body covers us. So when he sees us, he sees that. Therefore, he's not angry with you. He's not disappointed or frustrated. He sees his son's covering. Yet he knows our frailty. And he walks with us and he guides us and he builds us. What keeps us on the right track is knowing that. God, it's not me, it's you. God, it's not my righteousness, for no one is righteous. It's your righteousness that covers me. And I know, left to my own devices, left to my own will, I will wander from you. All we like sheep have gone astray, the prophet said. All of us, the strongest of us, will go astray. If not, excuse me, for that constant attitude of, God, I need you every day. I need you every moment of every day. I hunger and thirst to be right with you every moment. To be conscious of the need to want you. Number two, seek God first. Matthew 6:33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Seek that. His kingdom, his righteousness. Being right with him. Seek that. Do we seek that? I mean, I'm a champion at checking off the boxes. I really am. I learned how to do that as a youngster, as a teenager. Have your quiet time. Every day. Have your quiet time. Okay, I had my quiet time. I'm good now, right? I just checked the box. No, seek. I'm pretty sure that if we lost our phone, we'd be seeking pretty passionately. Where's my phone? I misplaced. Oh, it's in my pocket. We lose our minds when we lose our phones. Or we lose our keys. I wonder if we sought God like that. God, I have to have you. Yes, I hear that distraction. I'm saying no to that distraction. I'm saying yes to you, Lord. I'm saying no to those things that are getting in my brain. They're gonna make me just go out. No, I'm saying no to you. I'm going to seek God. I want him. There's more to know. He's infinite. He's eternal. He's sovereign. He's just big, this God. He's wise. He's smarter than me. He knows things. He knows my tomorrows. I want that. I want him. Him. He's the one I want. Do we seek God? Do we trust him in everything we do? Are we aware of his presence every day? Do we seek him each moment? I get in the car. I'm seeking you, God. You're with me. I know you're with me. We get out of the car, we go into our workplace. God, you're with me. You're here. I know you are. God, I want to be aware of you each day, each moment of this day. You go through your work day. You get back in the car. You get into traffic. God, I'm seeking you. You get home. You walk in the door. Lord, you're with me. I wonder how our lives would be different if that's how we lived. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. The key is what we think about. Philippians 4:8 and 9 says this. Read this one along with me, would you? Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Well, what am I supposed to think about? That. Whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy. That's what we think about. Because that's who God is. I hate the word whatever. My kids would, they didn't say it very often. They learned quickly the reaction that they would get from dad if they said that word. And it wasn't just the word, it was the attitude attached to the word. Parents, amen? Hey, I'd like you to do this. Whatever. I'm going to knock those eyeballs straight if you roll them at me like that again. Somebody made me a funny t-shirt with this scripture on it. The big front of the thing was whatever. And then it had the scripture verse, Philippians 4. I never wore that shirt, by the way. It washes cars to this day. What do you think about? You see, seek first the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. All of that starts here. It starts here. We're transformed by the renewing of our mind. What do we think about? Put this verse, these two verses somewhere where you can see them and then ask yourself, is what I'm thinking about now line up with that? If it lines up with that, you're hungering and thirsting for righteousness. If it doesn't line up with that, scripture says, take every thought captive. You say, God, I'm thinking about stuff right now that doesn't line up with your word. I'm just admitting it to you. Would you give me different thoughts? You'd be amazed how that little process just changes the way you think. Many times it's not that we're not hungering and thirsting for God. We just don't think about him. We just get through our day and we're just like, oh, yeah, God was with me. Didn't even think about him. Wasn't aware. Our schedules are so busy. I love C.S. Lewis's words in his book, The Screwtape Letters, when he says, Christians aren't going to be tumbled by the big urgent, by the big thing. Just keep them busy. Keep them busy enough so that their mind will be on earthly things and not on God. And that's the way you can trip them up. Number four, get rid of anything that is contrary to God's word. Know that the righteousness is not you. Seek God first. Dictate your attitudes by what you think about. But you got to get rid of things that are contrary. Hebrews chapter 12:1 says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Have you found out that sin easily entangles? It's not hard to get entangled. It's not. It's easy to get entangled in stuff. So we got to throw off everything that is easy to get entangled with. Get that stuff just out of the way. Get it out from under your feet. You'll trip over it. You'll stumble over it. It'll make you fall. This person never wants to get even close to anything that might dull his edge of devotion. Wax fruit looks delicious, doesn't it? Until you take a bite and it's just gross. I traveled with a young man back in youth ministry days, and we sat at a table and at what looked to be like ice cream. Like big scoops of vanilla ice cream in a cup on the table. And he got so excited, got a big spoon, big spoonful, stuffed that in his mouth, spit it out in a hurry to find out it was horseradish. You ever had an experience in your life when something looked good and it produced something bad? Everybody say amen right now. Because that's every single one of us. It looked good, but it wasn't good. I like sweets, but I'll die in a diet of chocolate. I like those things that look nice and good, but I'll die if I don't have my vegetables and good food. You can eat all you want that looks good, but in the end it'll lead to death. So get rid of anything that's contrary. Jesus said, if your right eye sins, cut it out. Right arm sins, cut it off. Not butchery of the body. The body is a body. It's what's inside. What's going on right now that you need to throw off? Susanna said, I had no water, no fruit juice, no liquids. It was then I remembered I had my own blood. Her groping fingers, numb from the cold, found a piece of shattered glass. She sliced open a finger and gave it to little Diane to suck on. The drops of blood weren't enough. And she cried out, "Please, Mommy, some more. Cut another finger." Susanna had no idea how many times she cut herself. She only knows that if she hadn't, Diane would have died. Her blood was her daughter's only hope. The hand was cut, the blood flowed, and the child was saved. "God, I'm so thirsty," we pray. And Jesus' hands were cut, his side and his feet, and the blood flowed, and we are saved. Beneath the rubble of a fallen earth, he was pierced for our transgressions. In the wreckage of our lives, he was torn open. His children were trapped in sin. And his body hung on a cross so that we might have our hunger and our thirst quenched. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that we would hunger and thirst for righteousness. That we would not just have a taste, but we would desire you more than anything else. God, if anything in this world today, we need a greater hunger for you. A hunger that is more than our entertainment. A hunger that is more than our jobs. A hunger that is more than our status, our money, our homes. A hunger that is more than our future pursuits. God, we need a hunger for you. Desire you above all things. You are the number one priority because you're the only one that can give us life. Why would we search for life anywhere else? It will not satisfy, but you alone. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. As we go into our time of lingering prayer, if you're a guest with us today, we finish our services like this. If you're watching online at home, I invite you to make your home a house of prayer. Just bow before the Lord. Seek him today. You don't have to be in the sanctuary to seek God. We seek him anywhere, everywhere. But think about these things as you do. Do I have cravings for the things of this world? And if so, be honest. Be honest and confess them to God. He's not going to be mad at honest confession. That's your first step into getting right. I've been practicing this now for about a year, and I'm amazed at how much more freedom I have and how quickly I can get back with the Lord even after failing. Confess honestly for the Lord. Number two, identify anything you're filling up on and choose to cut those things off. As you pray, maybe you don't know, ask God like the psalmist, "Search me, O God, know my heart. See if there's anything in me. Cleanse it." Some things you might know very clearly that need to be cast aside. Other things maybe not. Ask God. Number three, ask God to help you keep your mind on excellent things and to seek him first. We need help. We need help. He knows this. He knows you need help. He's not surprised. Ask him to help you keep your mind stayed on him. And last, choose to live a life of praise and thanksgiving. That's the life that says, "God, it's only you and you alone." So let's linger a while and pray these things. Meet with God. Seek him this morning. Don't be quick to run, but if you do have to go because of the hour, you're free without judgment. If you'd like to pray with someone, the elders at the two corners of the sanctuary, you can come and pray with one of them. If you'd like to accept Jesus as your Savior for the first time, go to one of those elders. They'd be so overjoyed to pray with you. Let's take these next moments. Let's hunger and thirst for our Lord and Savior. Let's pray together.
You are the way, the truth, and the life. You are our righteousness. God, won't you lead me? Teach me, God, to hunger and thirst for you. As the deer pants for water, Lord. Let me become singly focused on your kingdom, Lord Jesus. May you be glorified, Father. Even as I move these four walls into the busyness, the beginning of this week, this Sunday, you are there with us. I pray, Father, that we are able to continue our focus. God, lead us, guide us. May we depend on you in Jesus' name. Amen.